The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I have long been an admirer of State Controller Tom DiNapoli. I think he does a great job as controller. And now his office is raising a fresh alarm over New York's out-migration. When we use that term, out-migration, that's a fancy way of saying New Yorkers, people that have lived here in some cases their whole lives, are moving out of here elsewhere. What he points out is that this is leading to an erosion of the state's tax base. DiNapoli, along with Business Council President Heather Mulligan, wrote an op-ed in the Daily News outlining how the nation-leading population loss, think about that, more people are leaving New York than any state in the union. Gee, I wonder why. This could start to play a major role in hurting the state's financial picture. State government draws the lion's share of its revenue from the personal income tax, and with fewer filers paying New York taxes, services that everyone relies upon could be impacted. And one long-term impact could have a broad effect on New York's economic well-being. Deputy Controller Maria Dulles told Politico New York in an interview, "Population loss can mean fewer workers in your workforce and potentially, ultimately, fewer jobs as well." New York's population loss has been a problem not for a year, not for 2 years, but for decades. But out-migration was exacerbated significantly during the onset of the COVID pandemic when the state lost more than 533,000 people between 2020 and 2023. Even if the outflow of people has slowed, the issue is going to have the political impact of loss of representation in Washington. New York is going to have fewer electoral votes. We're going to have fewer members of Congress. That is going to diminish New York's clout nationally. The state lost one seat in the House following the last census. There's been a lot of people offering their solution in terms of how to stop this. It's not difficult to figure out the problem. No one can afford to live here. Between taxes, rent, the price of housing, the price of transportation, the price of energy, the price of water, everything costs a fortune, and it's about to get even more expensive for those of us that need to drive into Midtown occasionally. This is crazy. We need to fix the cost of living problem in New York before we fix the out-migration problem.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. You know what every New Yorker should do? You should make use of the 311 program or the 311 service. This was one of the greatest accomplishments by Michael Bloomberg. If you're outside of New York City or if your municipality or your state doesn't have 311, basically, this is something to call for every non-emergency. You see a pothole, you call 311. You see a tree on a public street that is, you know, leaning against a power line, you call 311. And they keep pretty meticulous stats about everything that happens on 311. And there's reporting of whether or not they're able to satisfy everybody's concern and how close they get to satisfying everyone's concern. And they're really judged publicly by how effectively they respond to these results. Now there's a 311 app. I've been trying to use this 311 app more because on the community board that I serve on, they say that this 311 app is quite helpful. And I have found it to be helpful in taking photos and including photos along with what I'm saying. So I was at the park the other day and I noticed, and I've noticed this for a while, but I noticed this in 311 mode. I was at the park the other day and I noticed that none of the basketball hoops have nets on them. And I thought, why? It just makes the basketball hoop look so run down and shoddy. And I reported this to 311 along with the photo of the hoops. And I got a response within a day or two. And it said no action was taken because the agency, in this case, the Parks Department, determined the condition reported was within acceptable parameters for park or city use. New York City Parks does not provide nets on basketball courts or athletic fields. If nets were previously there, they were put on by a private party. Now, I'm left asking the question, why? Why would we not want nets on basketball hoops? Is it a function of money? Is it a function of avoiding vandalism? Maybe there is a valid reason for not wanting to put nets on basketball hoops, but for me, it just looks very rinky-dink. I'd love to know if someone has the answer to that. If you do, please email me, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. And in the meantime, download that 311 app and report everything you see that the city should be aware of.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
On April 8th, there will be an eclipse. I'm pretty excited about this. It's a rare thing, and it's going to be pretty cool. I've got my glasses ready. And there are school districts all over New Jersey that are planning to close before the solar eclipse due to concern about kids looking at the sun. The latest is in Livingston, I presume. Livingston schools will close early on April 8th to avoid any danger to students and families from the solar eclipse. This is according to a letter Superintendent Matthew Block sent home to families on Wednesday. The Essex County School District's four schools will dismiss at noon or 12:45 hours before the eclipse so students are not tempted to look directly at the sun without protective eyewear during their usual dismissal time. That's the word from the superintendent. They said, since the eclipse will occur during our regularly scheduled school dismissal times, many of our students would be outside and unsupervised during the eclipse. Blocks writes, unless children are properly supervised, they could be drawn to look at the eclipse and would likely do so that day at dismissal. Without the proper equipment, this can cause damage to their eyes. Here's what one parent had to say on this front.
I'm hearing people think this is nonsense, this is ridiculous, and other people are saying that if the physician has advised, then we've got to go with it.
I think this is awful. I am baffled and disappointed by this decision. It is so misguided to keep children inside when they could be seeing this event. I know everybody's risk averse, and I realize everyone's afraid of a lawsuit, but this is the type of thing that children should not be sheltered from. Instead, they should be taught about their place in the universe and how to exist safely in nature. So we're essentially just telling children to be afraid of the sun and the outdoors. Tell them about the proper precautions. Send home a reminder. Have the parents fill out a permission slip if need be. Give them the freaking glasses. But this is devastating. This is absolutely devastating. While we're trying to prevent the kids from looking at the eclipse, what we're really doing is protecting children from accidentally getting interested in astronomy. This is awful, and I hope more school districts do not follow the lead of Livingston.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
I'm sure a lot of you have already heard about this and probably heard it yourself. A couple of days ago, on Thursday, Letitia James was speaking before some firefighters. And remember, this is the woman who has been leading the prosecution in New York State of Donald Trump on a civil basis, not on a criminal basis, but on a civil basis, which may have much more longer lasting penalties than what Trump is going through on a criminal basis. She was speaking before some firefighters, many of whom were supportive of Trump, and here's what happened.
I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Attorney General Letitia James.
Oh, come on, we're in a house of God. First, simmer down.
Well, Laura Kavanaugh, the FDNY commissioner, is apologizing on behalf of those firefighters.
Not only is the fire department the greatest fire department in the world, it is also the most professional fire department in the world. And we let down that reputation on Thursday.
Look, I don't think what those firefighters did was appropriate. I think when you're in uniform, when you're on the job, you have to carry yourself accordingly. You have to carry yourself on a professional level. That being said, I don't think what Letitia James has been doing to Donald Trump is appropriate. And was it really a shock to see that the FDNY, many of whom is in love politically with Donald Trump, greeting her that way? But Laura Kavanaugh, who, unlike Sal Cassano and Daniel Nigro and other people who've been fire commissioner, has never been a firefighter. And because of that, she has some issues with the rank and file of the FDNY. Rather, they have issues with her. I don't think she should have apologized on behalf of the FDNY. I think you have to chalk that up to the occasional picadillos of what happens. But what's worse is that the FDNY brass, including Kavanaugh, is turning up the heat on these pro-Trump firefighters who showered Letitia James with those boos. They handed out a memo at firehouses on Sunday warning firefighters that department investigators are reviewing video footage of the event in Brooklyn last week to identify those behind the grossly inappropriate, that's a quote, conduct, and caution them to keep their politics at home. When you're on duty, feel however you want about politicians, vote, protest, that's your right, but don't do it on the job's time, on other members' time, or on their family's time. Do it on your own time. I agree with the spirit of that. I think at some point, you just have to recognize these are men and women that put their lives on the line for us, and once in a while, they need to blow off some steam. Let's give them a break.
Beam me up!
To be continued.